Heavenly Father, we come in the magnificent and the matchless name of Jesus. We recognize the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. And therefore we come to you to assist and help us by giving us supernatural assistance by your anointing. That you will anoint me afresh, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I further pray that you will put the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, that the power of the Holy Spirit will be released, Lord God, in more than sufficient measure, power to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, Father, that I might deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said, Amen. We're going to continue our study in the Word. And this morning, we're, by the mercy and the grace of God, we'll finish 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been on there for quite a while. But that's how the Word of God is. It is pregnant, you see. It's full of revelation and life. And so you can't rush over the Bible. You know, just talking about that, you know, over the years I've encouraged us to read our Bibles every day. And I have what I call a balanced Bible reading plan, which enables you to read over the full length of Scripture on a daily basis. Traditional Bible reading plans go sequentially, you know, so they'll start from, you know, Genesis, then Exodus, and so on and so forth. That's not bad, but a better way of doing it is to read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, you know, the Gospels, what I call the Pauline Revelation, the four Gospels, you know, then the Pauline Revelation, then Psalms and Proverbs. And if you read it like that, that's why I call it balanced. You get a balanced diet because the different aspects of the Word of God, you know, they can be likened to food, like protein and carbohydrate and vitamins and ions and minerals and fats and all of that. And so, and they complement one another. I said all of that to say this: when you're reading the Word of God, you know, that's why it takes time. You know, and then we have a 3-year Bible reading plan. We have one in 1 year where you read lots of scripture, especially for new people. But once you've read the Bible once or twice, then next time you do it over 3 years, then you just maybe like 10 verses or 13 verses, 7 verses, then you read it slowly. Then you begin to see that what you rushed over a year ago, there's much more inside it than what you thought. That's the essence. And that's what's happening in these Bible studies. That's why it's taking us, you know, you can't, the Word of God, you have to take time to deliberate, to meditate. And it has different, you can see things from different angles. It's called the manifold wisdom of God. And so these are very important. So in our last lesson, we're in verse 22. It says, seeing, I don't know how people are seeing here. We said it last time. Say, seeing. Seeing. Ask your neighbor, are you seeing anything? Seeing, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See. Do you see anything? that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This verse is pregnant, like we saw last week, you know, that your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, you know, and until you rightly divide your spiritual anatomy, you can't really understand your Christianity. And then one of the biggest problems that still exists in the church today is because so many Christians and so many people do not rightly divide spirit, soul, and body. And even when they do, they don't understand how the different aspects of our threefold being operate together. When you get born again, what gets born again is your spirit. Jesus said so. He said that which is born of spirit is spirit. Your soul doesn't get born again. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is a part of your inner man, but it's not your spirit. There is a difference between your soul and your spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 says, dividing asunder soul and spirit. It's only the Word of God that can, the revelation of the Word of God that gives us that distinction. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, talks about the whole spirit and soul and body. So God makes the scriptures, the Holy Spirit gives us a big distinction between the spirit and the soul. And so what gets born again is your spirit. And the new birth, the experience of the new birth, causes the nature of God, Zoe, the life of God, the Greek word is Zoe, to enter into your spirit. Now, once that has happened, you have a connection with God. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your sin nature, and the life of God is in your spirit. So you have a direct contact with God. Jesus said it this way to the woman at the well. She said, look, this water you're drinking, if you drink it, you get thirsty again. He said, but there's a water I'm going to give you. He said, if you drink of it, that water will become in you a spring of eternal life, a well of eternal life. So, in other words, you now become connected to the source of eternal life. It is from there, that spring of eternal life, your spirit is now connected to God by the Holy Spirit. You can now begin to cause the life of God that is in the spirit to go up into the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and it's physical, should I put it, it's positional. Its position in your anatomy is up here. Now, up here is also where your physical brain is, you know. But your physical brain is the housing for your soul, just like your physical body is the housing for your spirit. You know, because to understand spiritual things, it takes revelation anyway. No matter how much I say it, unless God shows, that's why I say seeing. Seeing. So your spirit is born again. So your the nature of God in your spirit starts going up. That's why it happens when you pray in tongues and when you pray for revelation and you speak God's word. The nature in the spirit now starts coming up and it begins to purify the soul. And he said, you know, so it purifies the mind, it purifies the will, your desire to do the will of God. You know, it purifies your emotions, starts tempering them with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's what Mommy has been sharing with some of the people recently about infusing, examine your heart. She shared here in church, you know, when you pray. That's why you shouldn't just pray mechanically. You have to pray and your heart should be involved in what you're doing. You know, so you're allowing the life of God that is inside to start affecting what is in the will and the mind and the emotions. This is unto, through, in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You cannot obey God's word without the power of the Holy Spirit. It took us a long time to really understand this. Because you see, traditional thinking is like this. When you obey God, then God will give you the Spirit. So, you know, the more obedient you are, the more of the Spirit of God you will get. There is a truth there, but that's not really the correct sequence. The sequence is this. You will get the power of the Spirit that will enable you to do the truth. Now, the more truth you do, next time they're going to be given the Spirit, you'll now be given a greater measure of it. So there's truth there. But if to jumpstart the process, you have to have the Spirit. That's why the Bible says that it is impossible without faith to please God. You can't do it. You're going to have faith, and that faith will now give you access to the life and the power of the Spirit. And that power of the Spirit now enable you to do the will of God. And when you now do the will, when you are faithful in little, then God, now, next time you're going to need another dose of the power of God. It will be in a greater measure than the first one you got. Amen. Are you listening to me? And so, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, the purifying of your soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions becomes, you know, true love. You begin to love men like God loves them. The Lord Jesus, when he was going to leave, he gave us, he says, a new commandment give I thee, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, there was an old commandment. The old commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. And that's not bad. And it's a good place to start. And that's what the natural man, the ordinary man, calls it the golden rule. And it is the golden rule. Thank God for it. Amen. But as Christians, we're supposed to move in a higher level. We're supposed to be loving not as we love ourselves, but as God loves us. Now, how can you love as God loves you if you don't have the nature of God? It's only the nature and the power of God that can enable you to love as God loves. So that is why it is through the Spirit. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned, that is, you know, genuine love. Not feigned. Feigned is, you know, insincere. You know, genuine love for the brethren, you know. And they said, then he says, see, after you know, this is a cycle. It's something you keep increasing, that you love one another, what? Fervently. And I shared last week, I mentioned last week, where do you see that word fervent again? Prayer. So, prayer has a lot to do with love. Hello? That's why if you see any man sin, he shall ask life. It's prayer. You pray. When you wash feet, we call it washing of feet. It's just a symbolic word. It just means you ask the God to forgive the person and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. Ask life for them. You pray for them in tongues. What are you doing? It says edifying one another. So you're loving one another. True divine love is one of the greatest revelations I believe God has given me. You know, it's something I've been teaching over many, many years. But in the last 10, 20, 12, 15 years, it's become much clearer to me than it was before. You know, it's actually, you know, having the wisdom, the compassion, and the power to do what God would do in every situation. In other words, if you're truly walking in divine love, it's the ability to discern by the wisdom of God what God will want to do in that situation. Then the compassion to empathize, to feel in your emotions, to be touched. Let's stay with the scripture. It says, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So, just like God is being touched, you are being touched with the same feeling that God is being touched with about that situation. And then you have the power to do what God will do in that situation. That is what love is. It's not an emotion. Now, it will affect emotions, but it's not an emotion. Because it does not originate from the emotions. It originates from the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives the wisdom. It's the Spirit that gives the compassion. It's the Spirit that gives the power to love like God loves. So if you really, as I said, love one another fervently, without prayer, you really won't have that wisdom. You won't have that compassion. And you certainly won't have the power. That's why so many people, you know, under pressure, their love crumbles. You know, I'm tired, or, you know, I can't take this anymore, you know, and that kind of thing. That's the carnal man talking. Because the true love of God, he says, it bears up under anything and everything that comes. Only the power of God can do that. You can't do it in the natural. Amen? Is the love of God, you know, it says love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious. It does not boil over with jealousy. They are not natural attributes. They are supernatural. And it's the Spirit of God that gives you that ability. And the more of the Spirit of God that is operating, that is being released, or the power of the Spirit that's being released in your will, your mind, your emotions, the more you love. That's why you have to eat fervently. Because it's actually generated by prayer. And sustained by prayer. Hello? You know, and then you become, you know, the more you talk about perfecting love of God, you now become like God. More like God. You start thinking like God. You start acting like God. You start, you know, seeing what God will see. You begin to see beyond what men see, because men will only see things in the natural. You know, that's why, you know, the more spiritual people become, the less they are understood by the people around them. And usually they make an enemy out of you. You know, look at two classical examples. One is Paul. How come Paul and Jesus? You know, Paul was, it was God who taught Paul these things I'm teaching you. God told the apostle Paul, and Paul, he put them down, and the Holy Spirit now taught us through his writings. You know, you find, you know, Paul was totally misunderstood by the people around him. Completely. And that's because he was seeing what God was seeing. And the other people were not seeing what God was seeing. And they, you know, they called him, you know, a heretic. They call all kinds of things, you know. You tell them things like, you know, you don't have to circumcise the Gentiles. They say, are you crazy? Before you were born and your father was born, Moses wrote this thing down. And then you now come and tell us that we should do away with all of these things. You know, they couldn't understand him. They couldn't understand him. You know, he would take Gentiles. It's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus was, you know, he would wear long hair. Praise the Lord. He was a Nazarene, you know. You know, and he'd mix with sinners, and, you know, he'd be kind to people, and he'd let an unclean woman with an issue touch him, for heaven's sake. And no respectable rabbi would ever do that. But you see, he wasn't seeing the way they were seeing. He was seeing the way God was seeing it. You know. And that's why I've said this very often in recent times, and I'm going to keep saying it. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to interpret and apply the Scripture as God wants you to apply it today. And that's why we also call, what we also have, what is known as present truth. Present truth is the present day revelation and application of the truth of God's word that was written thousands of years ago. But what is the present prophetic, what is the present day prophetic application? And I don't know why I got off on this, but I'll just say it, and then I'll go to the next verse and hopefully we'll close. You know, and it is this, you know, so many people are stumbling over the Bible. Because you go into the Old Testament and you see all kinds of funny things. I was reading my Bible, I think my normal Bible reading, I think yesterday or either yesterday or today. You know, this is not what I prepared for the message. It's just my, you know, we too read the Bible, you know, praise the Lord. We do what we preach. Apart from what I prepare, you know, I have to pray and read the Bible and get my message. That's a different, that does not excuse me from reading my Bible. My own personal Bible reading. And it was somewhere in the Old Testament. I think it was, I can't remember, either Joshua or one of these Old Testament. And I was looking at what, or Exodus or Numbers, somewhere. Anyway, one of the, you know, where God told them to go. Aha! He said that if, I think it was Deuteronomy, that if some people in Israel, Moses was giving them instructions that when they get into the promised land, and some of the Israelites, if they go into idolatry, and they, he said, don't rush. He said, investigate it very well. He said, make diligent search. If it is found to be so, he said that the other tribes should go to that city, destroy everything, kill everybody, kill their cattle. See, they shouldn't take anything and say they're going to sacrifice it to anything that has been dedicated to idols, that they should come, then destroy all their houses, burn everything, and make it a heap. Now, if you're not born again, even if you are born again, and you read that kind of thing, you will say, what kind of Bible? What kind? Can't you just tell them they shouldn't do that anymore? You know? Now, you can't go and take that and apply it to today. And say, you know, the Bible said that, you know, if anybody, you know, okay, and covetous in his life results, covetous people, let me kill all of them, burn their house. Now, that would be wrong application. You understand? Even though the scripture actually says so. But the way you're going to apply it today, you have to apply it in the lens of the New Testament, which is love. And Jesus said we should love and pray for them. And now don't make no mistake about it too. If they don't repent and they continue that kind of thing, the punishment will even be even worse in the New Testament. The Bible says that, you know, of much sorer punishment shall he be thought worthy of him. You know, so the New Testament, you know, people think, oh, the New Testament, you know, God hasn't changed. There's just more mercy and grace because of what Jesus did. Now, the severity of our own time is this, which is what a lot of men don't understand. And we need to understand the severity of our times is this. When God's judgment comes in our time, you know, it says, for this cause many are weak, many are sickly, and many sleep. So many things are happening, you don't know it's God's judgment. Then that is to wake us up. And, you know, so that we can change, so that, you know. But if it enters eternity, the punishment is much more severe. And it's interesting, in Jesus' life and his ministry, he taught a lot about hell. Three amens. One from Pastor Wega, one from Pastor Wallace. He did. He taught a lot about hell. He said, if your eye offends thee, that's another scripture that will cause problem. Again, that's another way you have to have the spirit, not the letter. If your eye offends you, this is the Lord talking. He said, pluck it out. See, it is better for you to enter into heaven with one eye than for you to lose your whole body to go to hell where they are warm, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Now, what do you want to do with that scripture? It came from the mouth of the same Jesus. Now, how do you interpret that scripture? It doesn't mean you go and pluck your eye out. Now, literally, if you did pluck your eye out and went to heaven, it's still better. I mean, you're like, I said, if you still have to pluck your eye out just so that you don't go to hell, it's a far better deal. But the good news is that you don't have to pluck your eye out. You know? So, Paul, revelation is progressive. That's why he called his revelation the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was a revelation Jesus gave to him to put light on everything Jesus said in the four Gospels. Because you see, you can't really understand and apply the four Gospels as you should without a Pauline revelation. That's why it was given to Paul. So it is in the light of that you will now say that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and us. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do crucify the flesh, you shall, you know, you will live. So how do you pluck the eye out? Crucify it. By the Spirit. Now that is the interpretation. But some guy who doesn't know all of what I've said just reads the Bible and then he says, it's just Jewish history, and you know, it's just, you know, and that's why people do support a lot of things. I know the Bible says that, but if you're going to take everything the Bible says, you know, it can't be right. So, you know, in this particular case, the back in the olden days, they didn't understand the science that we have today, and our science today tells us that we know more than the Bible. Yeah, that's the thinking. You know, that's the thinking. That is what, you know, causes the people to think the way they think. So that's why you see that they have selective interpretation of the Bible. So somebody who says, I know the Bible says that. Now, there are good parts of the Bible which says, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, which says, you know, and do this and do that. They will take all those ones. Then all this other part about, you know, this is an abomination to God, they won't take that one. They'll say, oh, that's too severe, you know. And it's just like he said, we should pluck out our eye. Just like he said, you should go and kill all those people, you know, who are idolaters and burn their houses. So we have to apply the scripture selectively. Of course, it's a lie of the devil. But the thing about it is, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why it calls rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what that means? It can be wrongly divided. If it can be rightly divided, certainly it can be wrongly divided. And that's the issue today. So many people are wrongly dividing the word because they don't have the Spirit. If you don't have revelation, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit is not working in your heart, you know, and you're not praying a lot in the Spirit, you will wrongly divide the word in some areas. You know, this issue of homosexuality, you know, comes to mind, you know. And let me say this, I've said it so many times up front, you know, we love the sinner, we just hate the sin. So we love homosexuals. I have nothing against them personally, you know, but what they do is what is contrary to the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible says, you know, that abuses themselves with mankind. It says this is an abomination. And he doesn't say in the Old Testament. He says it both in the Old and New Testament in black and white. So that is wrong. So how do we relate to homosexuals? We love them. We try and tell them this is what the Bible says, you know, and God can change you. It is not true that that's the way you were born. That's a distortion of the enemy. I don't care what they saw under the microscope. They didn't see anything. Is that just, you know, those of us who are scientists, like a prof here, they tell you, you can skew data any way you want. You know, if I take a sample of 500 people and I get a whole, you know, and I go and look at their genome and their DNA and all of that, and I see certain things and I see certain things and I see certain things, I can skew the data to say what I want it to say. Amen. So the fact that you looked under the, you saw some DNA of some people who, you know, some men who seem to have some effeminate tendencies. So that means the man is just naturally like that. It's not science. It's deception. God didn't make us like that. The Bible says that which is against nature. Even you just look at your anatomy, you know his camp is right. Come on. You know? So, but We don't hate the people. We don't, as Christians, we're not going to, you know, go and shoot them like some guys do in America. You know, that's the thing, you know. This thing, because, you know, they call it homophobia, it now leads to hate crimes. And if you see where they, you know, you go and fight them and God didn't say we should do that. So what we do, pray for them. Be kind to them where as much as we can. But where it's necessary, we tell them, look, your lifestyle, I don't agree with it. And then trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will change them. So we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. So we condemn the action, but we don't condemn the people. Now, one last thing on that. The last word. Amen. But the word that I have spoken shall judge them on the last day. I can't condemn you. That's not my job. My job is a job of reconciliation, not of condemnation. But if you continue in your sin, after light and understanding and knowledge has come, then the God who made you will judge you on the last day and condemn you if you continue in it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And all liars, the fearful, the unbelieving, the liars, and the list goes on and on and on and on, and this other stuff is in there somewhere. It says they will have their place in the lake of fire. What's that supposed to do? Put the fear of God into you to change. I've done my job. Praise the Lord. Amen. I put the fear of God into you. Yeah. You know, whoremongers, adults, all kind, you know. So we don't want this to happen to you. So that's why we're telling you the truth. Amen. And so this is all love. That's where I started from. This is all love, to see things the way God sees them. And then, you know, empathize the way God empathizes, you know, be touched with God's feelings, and then to do what God would do to help the people and to, you know, to be kind to them and all of that. But it's not an excuse for rubbish and nonsense and just doing everything, you know, and anything. And it's not just an emotional thing, you know, it originates from the Spirit. Hello? Verse 23, being born again, I did not hear you. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have many, but this is one of them. Being born again, not of corruptible. Can you give me this firstly in the New International Version? And if I don't like it enough. Ah, yes, this is good. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Give it to me in the Amplified. For you have been regenerated, born again. I like this. Not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm. This new birth is real, folks. It's not religion. But from one that is immortal, by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. We were born again. You were born again by a divine sperm. You can say amen. It's okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we get so religious and, you know. We were born again by a divine seed. The word seed, the actual word is sperm. You know, the sperm that a man has when he comes into intercourse with a woman and causes to fertilize the egg in the woman's womb to have a human, to give birth to a natural baby, to the physical baby, is exactly the same thing. But this one is spiritual. The word of God acts as a divine sperm. When you believe it in your heart and you accept it and you believe it in your heart, it fertilizes and germinates and causes a new nature to come inside your spirit that has all the attributes of God inside. Exactly what happened to the Virgin Mary physically is what happens to you and I spiritually. It's exactly the same. The power of the Most High, the Holy Ghost, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which was born inside you shall be called the Son of God. Hello, Son of God. Give me a wave offering if you're a son of God. You're not a bastard, though. Hello? You are truly, he says, that which is born of God. Born of God. We were born again by this eternal seed, this sperm, this supernatural sperm of God. And it's not perishable. Oh my God, we're going to get there in a minute. Do you know that the word of God that is inside you is as eternal as God himself? You know why? It came from God, who is eternal. The eternal nature of it doesn't change because it left God. It is still the word of God. And it's not inside you. So it gives you the same eternal attributes that God has. They will tell you this Our doctors will tell you this. When a woman, that's why the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You want to understand spiritual things, look for the correct, and it takes the Holy Spirit to do that, natural analog, which means the natural equivalent. Once you can see the equivalent in the natural, it's very easy for you to understand the one in the spirit. It says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So God made this physical earth a copy of the realities already in the spiritual realm. In particular, when a woman conceives, we know this from science now, we've had better knowledge of science than we had even 50 years ago. I mean, when I was in school, you know, when I was in the university, I was in university in the 70s, you know, 74 to 78, and in 1989, 79, 80, and all that kind of thing. There's so many things that are available now that wasn't available when I was in school. You know, they knew about DNA, but they hadn't done the genome map. We didn't know about all that. I mean, they knew it was possible, but, you know, the work was just done just a few years ago. Anyway, the point is this. The zygote, that's the fertilized egg that is inside the womb of the woman. When a woman gets pregnant, it usually takes them about 6 weeks to know. Some people will know immediately. They miss their period. Then, you know that what happens is that it fastens itself to the uterus wall. Now, you see that zygote? Everything that you are going to become when you become a man is inside. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's inside. But it looks nothing like you. It's just a microscopic. It's such a tiny thing. But everything that is going to become you is inside. They'll tell you. That's why, you know, the people who should believe in God the most are the doctors. Every doctor who doesn't believe in God is a fool. I won't take it back. You know why? I didn't say it, the Bible said it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The same scripture says, I am fearfully and wonderfully. In fact, by the time you look at it, you shouldn't be afraid. Say, the person who did this thing is something else. Amen. Now, to get back to my point, that zygote contains everything. Now, this is what happens. I'm just giving you a general overview. The doctors can tell you better. In fact, I showed you a movie on this many years ago. You know, some guy, and he wasn't a Christian. He was just being honest. And he said, this one is far beyond us. But anyway, you know and it happens like that for everybody. You understand? It's programmed. They didn't just divide. Then a few weeks, one just formed the head. That head is still doesn't look like your own now. It just funny. It just look like one funny worm or something. You see the little tiny leg, then something. The heart just start coming out. Boom, 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 boom. You know? Then it will divide again. Then it will divide again. And different parts of the body, the hands, the fingers, and all of that, will start forming little by little by little by little. What a marvel. But the instruction for that formation is contained inside the DNA that is inside that cell, programmed originally by God. You're going to start shouting in a minute. I can't shout yet. When you get born again, everything Jesus is. It's inside your spirit. The divine sperm. It's all there. Conceived. You know, in the natural, the man provides the sperm. The woman provides the egg, and then there's a conception. In the spirit, God the Father provides the sperm, the Holy Ghost fertilizes it. and he attaches it to the uterus of your inner man. And it contains, it is everything God is there programmed in your divine DNA, divine nature and attributes. Papa Ralph, your divine, it's all there. Hence, but when it's in the zygote form, it doesn't look like Jesus yet. So that's why you still get angry and you still say, but if you let it grow, after a while the head will show, then the hands will show, then the legs will show, then the heart will show. And if you keep feeding it the word of God, and you keep praying, hallelujah, that Christ may be formed in you, that you might grow up into him in all things. The problem with the church is that more people live and die with the zygote. They're born again. It's there. But they don't develop it. So you never see it on the outside. All just, you know they're born again. They sing all the right songs. I'm not talking to anybody here. Being born again. Not a corruptible seed. This thing we have is not religion. No. It's life. It's reality. My Christianity is not religion. I am born of God. I have God's nature inside me. And I know it. He that had the Son had the witness in himself. When I got born again, you know my testimony and my story. You know, nobody could tell me. You can come to, you know, nobody could tell me I was not born again. People say, "Are you?" People were laughing at me. I was in my youth club, you know, I used to be a very funny guy. I was a nice guy, but you know, I was a little bit troublesome and all of that. You know, I say, when I told some of the other coppers, we had about four or five coppers in the school where I was teaching. One of us was a Christian. It was the girl. You know, it was her I got the Bible from that got me born again. Can you believe I didn't have a Bible? So I had to go and borrow her Bible. I think her name was Nike, if I remember. I saw how many years ago, almost about maybe 20 years ago, this is about 20 years after, she's married somewhere in Kwara Street or somewhere, you know, and she would just shake her head. When she saw I was the pastor, she couldn't believe it. You know, I borrowed her Bible and got born again, you know. I used to smoke. I just stopped smoking. It was supernatural. Went. Something happened to me. I would go out and I'll start looking at the flowers. Me, flower. I didn't used to think like that before. And I'll be wondering about the glory of God and how he made all this beautiful. My whole inner something just changed. The desire for sin left. My whole something, you know, I knew I was a new person. I said, this is what the S you call born again. So when I told Nike, she said, "You were born again." I said, "I am." They were very skeptical. They didn't believe, you know. And then they began to see I had changed a little bit. I still was going to party with somebody because all the coppers were friends and the pharmacists and the doctors. You know, the pharmacists and doctors were guys who had cars in those days. Remember? You know, in those days, when you immediately finish, you get a car. If you're a doctor, so all those were friends who were all going their car to the party and all that. I just sit down in one corner. They'll be shouting and making noise. I say, Olubi, what's happening now? I said, "I'm just cool. You know, just guys, do what you want to do." Something had happened. Born again. Today's own has kwashoko and kileg. I'm telling you the truth. Because you see, because sometimes, you know, it's just like in the natural. You know, a person can be the woman can conceive. And she's truly pregnant. Are you listening to me? But if something went wrong, do you understand? That fetus will have all kinds of problems. Spiritually, the same thing. That's why I have so many Christians with so many problems. And if you don't feed it properly, and if you don't nurture it properly, it won't come to term. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That's why you have to pray, read your Bible, come to church, so that the thing can grow properly. And it can become what God intended it to be. Amen. The other day, they did a great operation in New York and separated two twins that were joined by the head. And I thank God for that and what they did. But I want to ask you, what will make two twins join their head? The devil. There's no other word for it. For this cause was the Son of God manifested. It's a distortion. Normally, the twins should not be joined like that. The division, but it's the same thing in the natural. You know, some people are born, you know, they're born with one skew or born with something. Something is not correct and all of that. It's not God who did that. The whole creation was made subject to vanity. We have to understand these things. So when you're born again, oh Lord have mercy, by the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. Let me try and close on this. You know, what he's saying there is this. I'm going to give you two scriptures and by the mercy of God I close. The word of God contains the life of God. The word of God contains the... That is why it is eternal. That's why it lives forever. By the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24. For all flesh... I didn't hear you. Is as grass. And all the glory of man as the what? Flower of grass. The grass withereth. And the flower thereof falleth away. You see it every day. Go outside, you know, take some flowers, put it inside water, keep it in your house. 2-3 days later, everything is, you know, it shows you the temporal nature of physical things. Are you listening to me? They come and they fade away. But he's contrasting. Verse 25. But I didn't hear you. The word of God endureth forever. It does not fade like a flower. It does not wither like grass. It is as fresh today as it was 1 billion years ago. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? But the word of God endureth forever. Now, this is the good news I'm going to close with. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, God has made eternal life available to you through his word. That's what he's saying. This word, this living word that abides forever is this good news. This is the word that this gospel contains. So when you now become a partaker of the divine nature, through this word, you can continue to partake of that divine nature, that eternal life, the thing inside God that makes God, God. Now, think along with me if you can. Many men don't think, but it's good to think. Trust me. It's a very, very nice exercise. Praise the Lord. That's why God gave you your thinking processes. That's one of the reasons why you are like God. Animals don't think like we do. They operate by instinct and, you know, feeling. You know, men think. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to conceive thoughts. This is a God-given ability. Are you listening to me? Anyway, think along with me. Go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Stop. Don't do anything else. In the beginning, God. So before anything that was made, all that he had was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, God now wants to make something. But there's nothing else except God. there's only one way he can make something. Take what is inside God and bring it out. How? Speak it. So to take a part of himself out of himself, he had to release it through his mouth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, God. So everything you can see today came out of God. The Word of God. The Word of God released the substance from which everything we see today was made. And that's why all things, we've taught this Foundations of Faith lesson 1, have a spiritual origin. All things are controlled by spiritual forces. Hallelujah. You know, and I'll give you two scriptures, you know, lots of them, but look at 1 John, not Big John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. I didn't hear you. Which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word. Word of Zoe. The word of God contains the life of God. It has to, because it came out from God. Are you listening to me? Now, the good news is this. That word is now available to you and I. So, we can partake of the same life that God has through the avenue of his word. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. Beautiful scripture. This is Solomon writing in the Old Testament. But it's God who gave him this revelation. My son. If you're a son of God here, give me a wave offering. Okay. And I keep the hand up. It's good to keep it up. Just don't worry, I won't punish you. It's just for a few minutes. My son. I don't see how many sons are here. I don't know who's going to hell and who is not. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pray for him and get all the sinners saved. Okay, get your hands down. Praise the Lord. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I didn't write this, the Bible did. Let them not. Ask your neighbor, them what? Them my words. Hello? You know, sometimes I think when Christians read the Bible, they leave their thinking cap. They just, you know. Let them, that them is not them, your brother, your friend. It's them, the word. Hello? Let them not depart from thine eyes. It's not talking about this physical eye, it's talking about your mind. You know, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they who, my words. We must not lose our train of thought. They who? The word, exactly. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, the Hebrew says medicine, to all their flesh. Thank you, Jesus. The word contains the life of God. Hallelujah. That's why he said, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It is this word of life. So the word of God contains the life of God. So you are connected. Oh, this is wonderful. We are connected to the God who made everything. Let's say the simple way that Jesus said it. Another natural illustration that explains the spiritual truth. I am the vine, you are the branches. So simple. So the same life that is inside the branch, inside the vine, flows in the branch. So watch this. You talk, and your word is also the word of life. Just like when God spoke, and his word contained life. Your word can contain life, depending on how much life you put in your heart. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, he says he's upholding all things by the word of his power. This is an eternal word. It's a word, the life and the power of God is eternal. So every other thing, every other thing, you see, your physical body is made of physical substance, even though originally it was made by God. You know? So, a man dies, you're not going to die in Jesus' name. Amen. You know? But he's born again. And he has the life of God in his heart. When he dies, it's a physical separation of the spirit and the body. The spirit goes to heaven with that life. The physical body, just like the flower he talked about, and like the grass that he talked about, withers inside the grave. Then on resurrection morning, the person who has the body comes back with Jesus from heaven. Amen. The same word. That's the same word. The word, it doesn't get old. It's not perishable. Are you listening? Jesus and reconstitutes that same body, enters it, and it becomes a glorified body forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So even though the body may perish, you can never perish. Because you are born of God. Let us pray. Talk to God. Your body, once your spirit joins your body back, your body will take its correct position. That's why the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, by the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's going to be a day. The tombs will open. Hallelujah. All these bodies that have been dead for thousands of years. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever, you know, I don't encourage you to do it, but, you know, from medicine and knowledge of science, you know, after, you know, the first thing happens that worms will eat everything, and then after left with the skeleton, then after, even after something like the skeleton too will begin to, it will start to dry and become brittle. Hello? Hello? Then after it will be just like dust. If you go into the thing, after, except it's mummified, you know, if they use some chemicals and all that, if they don't, you know, you can't even see anything. All just is dust. How will dust rise? God! The power of God. Hallelujah. Every original cell and molecule that was inside that body, after all, is it not attraction and repulsion of forces? And so God doesn't know physics. He will bring the whole thing back together. Hallelujah. Then he will reconstitute it back together. And then he will wear it on your spirit. This is the word of the gospel which is preached unto you. Hi, eternal. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are no longer natural people. Even natural people will live forever. So their own story is different from our own. We don't want to go into that story today. Praise the Lord. We go up, they go down. Amen. Even their own bodies to be reconstituted. It's only that it's going to be in hell. Sadly, you know, which is not the will of God for anybody. But the point is, the word of the Lord is eternal, and it lives forever, and it's available to you and I now. We are connected to the source. Jesus called the spring of eternal life, the water of springing up into. We're not connected to the source of eternal life. So, through the Word of God, through the written Word, things that God wants us to have, He's given us the information. So when we put the life inside us and we use the information to frame it, it will do exactly the same thing that it does when God says it. Hallelujah. We have been made part of the Word of life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. talk to God this morning and say, God, I'm going to allow that seed to grow. I want that thing so that all the fullness of that's my message later on, you know, the everything Jesus is will show up in me. Everything. I don't want any kind of malfunction. I give an example of those two co-joint twins that have been wonderfully and beautifully separated. We thank God for those surgeons and the great wisdom and skill that God gave them. You know, but you know, you don't want anything to go wrong with what is the Christ in you. You want it to grow. You don't want it to, you know, have one eye or the hearing as impaired or, you know, the touching or it cannot walk properly. And you just like we have ailments in the natural, there are ailments in the spirit. That's why you have Christians. You know, they're Christians. You know, they're born again. Jesus used this illustration, you know, in one of the parables. I'm sure I've preached from it some years ago. You know, he says, you know, the halt, the maimed, the blind. There's people who are spiritually maimed. There's people who are spiritually paralyzed. There are people who are spiritually blind. You don't want that. You want all your spiritual faculties to be working properly, that Christ might be formed in you. Talk to God. And that's why chapter 2, we're going to start in next week, says, therefore, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's the next thing that follows this. It's the next thing that follows chapter 1. After telling you that you have the word, he said, now therefore, you know, feed that thing, feed that Jesus inside you, so that it will grow properly. Talk to God. Talk to me. Talk to God. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. Thank you. your heart, raise your other hand to God. All we ever need is in God. It is folly to look for anything outside Him. You're just wasting your time. Everything is there already. No wonder why the man said, "Seek ye first the kingdom as well." He said, "All other things will be added." It's there. It's all inside your spiritual DNA. Everything is there. All you just need to bring it out through the spoken word and prayer and keeping the word of God and staying in fellowship and contact with Him. You'll bring it out. Bring it out. Everything will begin to unfold. It's all there. Just like everything inside that zygote. For the physical body of that baby. Everything that the heart is there, the lungs are there, the nostrils are there, everything is there, the bones, everything is inside there. Everything of God is inside you. Raise that hand. Say, "Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness blocking my right standing with God, so that the life of God can flow freely into me in maximum measure. Father, I thank you for this word that I have heard this morning, reminding me that I am born of God, that I am born again by your eternal, unchanging word, by your eternal life through your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. That inside me, the Christ nature has been planted, containing all the attributes of God. Everything I will ever need is already programmed, planted inside me by your Holy Spirit through your word. My God and my Father, open my eyes. Help me see this and help me cooperate intelligently with you through prayer, using the blood, the word and the spirit connected to you, the source of eternal life, to bring them forth in my experience, in my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, in my physical body, even in my circumstances. For all things were made by you. By the word of your power, you uphold all things, including my circumstances. Everything that concerns my life, you are upholding them by the power of your word. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help me to live in this reality in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. As a follow-up to this message that's just come, something just came to my heart and I'll just mention it to us in a minute. In science, one of the first things we learn is called the law of conservation of energy. And very simply, what it means is that matter or energy cannot be created or destroyed. It's only converted from one form to the other. So when you say something has disappeared or something has been destroyed, well, truly, it's not that it doesn't exist anymore. It's just that it doesn't exist in the form that it was. Scripture. This concept of eternal life is so important that we grasp it. And it's in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him, through him, and to him. It's a cycle. So even everything on this earth, those plants, those you are looking outside now, those trees with the green leaves, after some time, some of those leaves will fall off. They will go back into the earth. They will go fall to the earth. It will become sand again. You know, maybe they will burn. The gardener will put them together. They will burn them in a fire. You know, the smoke will go up and look as if it has disappeared. It hasn't disappeared. It has just changed form. From that form it was, it's changed into another form. And there is a cycling, a recycling of everything that is inside this earth back to God. So God, of him, through him, and to him are all things. He maintains the universe. Everything that exists, it looks as if it disappears, but it doesn't disappear. It goes back. Then he makes it into another form again, and then he sustains everything. That is why when you hook up with the God who made everything, you become indestructible. Give the Lord a song. You get that glorified body, it will never change. It will never go from one form to the other. You dey can't wait.